a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Internet listeners and those of you that have joined us here today, reminder, what am I going to say? Turn off your cell phones, okay? Turn them to vibrate or silent, same for your computers. I think we're ready. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Bartling, Campbell, Eklund, Hawks, Johns, Tizer, May, Ring, Schaefer, Stevens, Tolson, Tyler, Wick, Hager, Sly.
Here.
Hi, here.
Madam Chair, quorum is present.
That's what happens when I'm thinking about more than one thing. Pages, we have three here today. Please come forward and make sure that the light is a bright green and tell who you are, where you're from, and if you have some thoughts for your future.
Hello, my name is Joe Lyon. I'm a senior at Elk Point Jefferson, and next year I'm going to School of Mines to study chemical engineering.
Welcome, Joe.
I'm Devin Kurtz. I'm from Delmont, and I go to school in Parkston. And next year I'm going to USD to major in elementary ed.
Okay, welcome, Devin. One more. How'd we luck out that we have three today? You thought it was going to be a busy day here.
Hi, I'm Leslie Cope. I'm a senior at St. Thomas More in Rapid City, and I plan to go to SDSU and major in interior design.
Okay, thank you. Testifiers, be sure that you sign in the back podium and that you're wearing the correct badge if you're representing an organization. And if you are speaking for yourself, just identify that when you come in and tell us your name. Testifiers, you will do the handouts through the pages, and the questions will come through the committee chair, whether you're a testifier or someone in the committee. We will start with our consideration of our first bills for today, and we will begin with Senate Bill 14, an act to repeal certain provisions regarding the Automated Library System Fund. Proponents for Senate Bill 14. Guess what? I forgot to prove the minutes. You may sit down while we do that. The chair asked for action on the minutes. Moved by Hager. Seconded by Representative Hawks. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Minutes have been approved. All right, now we're ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Bobby Rank from the South Dakota Department of Education. Here's a proponent to Senate Bill 14. Senate Bill 14 is part of the department's red tape review, which is eliminating outdated, unutilized statutes. There was no opposition to this bill in the Senate. It came through the Senate on the consent calendar. What it references is in 1988, a system was established called the South Dakota Library Network, and it was established through Black Hill State University. And in 1989, there was expansion of the system to other kinds of libraries, and the South Dakota legislature passed this statute, which is 145-37, to provide a continuing appropriation from library fees collected by the Department of Education. And Board of Regents, since this started at Black Hill State University, was involved from the beginning in this system. And what happened, because it was more efficient and Board of Regents was already involved and had the staff and the resources, the hardware, we think about 10 years ago, the Board of Regents took over collection of fees for this system, and they haven't gone through the continuing appropriation of the fund referenced in this statute. And so this statute really hasn't been utilized, and all the expenditures have gone through the Board of Regents fund, or excuse me, the Board of Regents budget that already goes through the appropriation process. So it's gone through that formal appropriation process. So that's been accounted for. And the repeal does not change current practice. It's not going to affect the South Dakota Library Network or any of its members. And we've, you know, made them fully aware of this, and there's no opposition from any of the South Dakota Library Network members. So we are just repealing a statute to reflect current practice with this bill as part of cleaning up statutes and hopefully making the code book at least one page lighter. So so I will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Other proponents? Good morning.
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jim Shackleton. I'm general counsel for the Board of Regents. We're raised to support of the legislation for essentially the same reasons that Ms. Rank has already outlined for you, and I won't take any of the committee's time to rehash a ground that's already been well plowed. Be happy to respond to any questions should there be any. Thank you.
Other proponents? Proponents for Senate Bill 14? Proponents. The chair will ask for opponents. Any opponents to Senate Bill 14? Opponents. The chair closes testimony and move into committee questions. Okay, we will close questions and we'll move into discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hager.
I move do pass.
Okay, it's been moved by Representative Hager, do pass, and seconded by Representative Campbell. Any comments?
Sounds like the automated library system is alive and well and being appropriated through the Board of Regents every year, and it sounds like we can get rid of the statute.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, all those in favor will say aye, and those opposed will say nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Bartling?
Aye.
Campbell?
Aye.
Eklund?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
Kaiser?
Aye.
May?
Aye.
Ring?
Aye.
Schaefer?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Tolson?
Aye.
Tyler?
Aye.
Wick? Excused. Hager?
Aye.
Sly?
Aye.
Madam Chair, we have 14 yay, one excused.
Senate Bill 14 has passed, and I heard a request for consent. Okay, Representative Eklund moved consent. Representative Tyler seconded. Any comments? Okay, consent it will be. Thank you. Our second bill, Senate Bill 71. And by the way, do you notice the time, committee, how short a time that took us? This is about a record for us, isn't it? Senate Bill 71, an act to correct the name of a post-secondary institution authorized to provide educational programs in South Dakota. And I believe, did the page go and get our get the prime sponsor of that? So we'll wait just a moment while she signs in. Good morning. You can breathe. You have time.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jean Hanoff. I'm a state senator from District 18. This morning I bring to you Senate Bill 71. For those of you that were here last year, we passed legislation that would allow continuation of federal grants to institutions in South Dakota for higher ed and VOTEC to be able to get funding for these students, because through some of the healthcare education reform, programs now had to register to say that they had certification programs in place. And at that time, we had a listing of all the institutions. Unfortunately, one of the institutions that was listed happens to be in the facility that I work with, and that's Sacred Heart Hospital School of Radiologic Technology. And we left off one of the words in that title, and like all bureaucracies, if you don't have the correct title, sometimes that can impact your funding. So what I'm asking you is to add the correct title, and that would be for this bill. Thank you. I stand by if you have any questions.
Thank you. Other proponents? Proponents for House Bill 71. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Mike Lauritsen with the Secretary of State's office. I have an amendment that I'd like to offer to Senate Bill 71.
Pages, please distribute that. Be sure that Senator Hunhoff gets a copy, too. Okay, I think we're ready. Thank you, sir, for waiting.
Currently, as part of the process to receive a post-secondary education certificate of authority, an institution must be an instrumentality of the state, a private business entity, or a nonprofit corporation when they register. The problem lies with state-run institutions from other states. An example of this would be North Dakota State University, which is run by the state of North Dakota. They want to register with our office to make sure they're in compliance with the U.S. Department of Education to receive their Title IV funding. They don't fall under any of the current three options to be an instrumentality of this state, a private business entity, or a nonprofit corporation. This amendment would add a fourth option for them to be an instrumentality of another state, allowing them to register with our office and receive their Title IV funding. I stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Other proponents? Proponents for Senate Bill 71? Proponents. Are there any opponents? Opponents to Senate Bill 71? Senator Hunhoff, would you have any comments regarding the amendment?
It's a friendly amendment.
It's a friendly amendment. Thank you. Chair closes testimony, and we'll have committee questions. No questions. We will move into discussion and or action. We need to move the amendment before, if the committee chooses to. Representative Hawks moved, Representative Bartling seconded to move amendment 71JA. Any comments, Representative Hawks? No. Anyone else? No. Okay, this will be a voice vote or any other discussion? Okay, a voice vote. All those in favor of Amendment 71JA will say aye.
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 Those opposed, the same sign. Okay, Amendment 71JA has passed. We move into action. Representative Ring moves do pass as amended. Yes, as amended. Representative John seconds do pass as amended. Any comments?
It makes sense to me.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Okay, Secretary will call the roll. Do pass is the motion as amended.
Representatives Bartling.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Kaiser.
Aye.
May.
Aye.
Ring.
Aye.
Schaefer.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Tyler.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Sly.
Aye.
Representative Sly, there are 15 yay, 0 nay.
Okay, Senate Bill 71 has passed as amended.
Madam Chairman,
yes, but Yes. Let me just, we have to have a title amendment, and then, but I think that we will, I will keep that in mind as we move forward. Because of the change with the amendment, we have, okay, it would be, the title amendment would change to an act to correct the name of a post-secondary institution authorized to provide educational programs in South Dakota and to revise requirements for institutions seeking authorization. Is that correct? Okay. Thank goodness for the woman that sits to my right.
Madam Chair.
Is there a motion to accept the title amendment? Yes.
I would move that title amendment.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Okay, moved by Representative Hager for a title amendment. Representative Campbell seconded. Any discussion? No. All those in favor will say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign? Okay, the title amendment has been moved. Now, Representative Stevens.
I move to put it on consent agenda.
Okay, moved by Representative Stevens to put on consent. Representative Campbell seconded. Any comments or? Okay. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Okay, I'll be on consent. Senate Bill 138 has been, the request has been to defer that for now, so that will go down below the line. And Senate Bill 194 is our next bill that we will be addressing today. Are there an act to extend the sunset date for certain expenditures from school districts' capital outlay fund. Are there proponents for Senate Bill 194? Proponents.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the House Education Committee. State Representative Jim Bolin, representing District 16, the furthest southeastern portion of the state, all of Union County, and essentially the southern portion, rural portion of Lincoln County. I bring to you today Senate Bill 194, a bill that will extend the flexible standard for capital outlay access by school districts. In 2009, in the midst of an extreme economic downturn in our country and state, the legislature decided to grant greater flexibility to school districts to use the capital outlay fund for certain designated expenses. These expenses would be classified as related to the overall running of a school district and are not unlimited in scope. I will let other testifiers relate those specifics to you. The bill was finalized with a 2-year sunset. I was involved in that effort as a freshman legislator, and we did achieve legislative success at that time. In 2011, this bill was extended, and again, a 2-year sunset was placed on the bill. In that year, school district funding was cut in the state of South Dakota by 10%. School districts continue to face difficult economic times. The capital outlay flexibility bill would allow, which you will consider today, is a piece of legislation that raises no tax levies without the vote of the school board. School boards by state statute would have the ability to levy taxes for capital outlay up to $3 per thousand evaluation. That is non-referable. Not all districts can or will use this option, but for many it has been a lifeline of survival in troubled economic times. Today we are asking you to approve a further extension of this option. 102 districts out of 151 in the state of South Dakota are making use of this provision to some degree at the current time. This bill calls for a 4-year extension of this very necessary continuation to better let districts plan for the future. We do not know where we will be economically in the future as sequestration cuts appear very likely and funding at the state level remains restricted. At the current time, the capital outlay flexibility bill is the best option many districts have to maintain their current status without an opt-out election. Again, it is permissive, it does not raise tax levies, and it will prevent some future opt-outs. And I'd just like to relate one situation within my legislative district there. I represent basically 5 school districts. One of them would very, very much like this extension continued because 3 years from now, a bond which they issued to build a new school, that bond will expire. And at that particular time, they believe they can get through two or three more years without an opt-out. And when if they do have to go for an opt-out, say in 2016 or 2017, they would be able to go to their voters and say, our bond is now paid off. We need these other resources for the continuation of current programs, but we will be able to accomplish this without an increase in taxes. Again, it is permissive, does not raise tax levies, will likely prevent some opt-outs. Would encourage you to please support this legislation, which has the backing, to my knowledge, of virtually every school group in the state. And I'll stand by for questions. I'd also like to mention that this bill was passed unanimously out of the Senate Ed Committee. I'm not sure exactly what the vote was on the Senate floor, but I know it was by an overwhelming majority. Thank you again.
Thank you. Other proponents for Senate Bill 194? Proponents. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is John Peterson, and I work for and represent the USA School Group. A reminder, it's 102 schools in South Dakota. Just a reminder, in education today we have five funds is what we have. We've got the general fund, and that's where we pay our salaries and just about everything else in education is the general fund. And then we have special ed, and we can levy, today we can levy $1.40 per thousand for that. As Representative Boland said, we have capital outlay where we can go up to three. And then we have bond redemption to build schools, and that it has to be passed by the people. And then we have the pension fund, and the pension fund is where we can levy 30 cents for that. Back on capital outlay, the fund we're talking about here, back in the old days when I was a young superintendent, we used to buy buses and typewriters. Now, some of you probably don't know what typewriters are, but that's kind of what we used the fund for. And now we've expanded it. Yes, we've expanded it. And I'd be, To be honest with you, I wish we didn't have to expand it like we have. I wish we were still buying computers and buses with it. But I think schools have gotten into such a difficult financial situations that we have came to the legislature and asked you to extend it. And so it has been extended, and we do appreciate it. And it's kind of interesting because at the beginning, we had some schools that really weren't for it. And I don't think now most schools are going to be against it. Some do not use it, but many do. And I would just share with you, a little bit of information. For example, we have got Rapid City that's using, this was in 2012, $2.6 million is what Rapid City is using. Milbank, who you're going to hear from their superintendent, he's going to call in. Milbank's using $370,000 of capital outlay for some of these expenses. Lyman County, $158,000 is what Lyman is using. Canton, $317,000. Dakota Valley, $251,000. Smaller school that we represent, Highmore Herald, $233,000. So, it's important for these people. There could be the question in your mind, well, this thing expires in 2014, so then why are you here today? We're here today because, back in the old days, they used to tell us that we should have a five-year capital outlay plan. The board members sat down and administrators and talked about what are we going to do in the next 5 years. And I think because of the financial restraints and because of the difficult economy South Dakota has had, we've not been able to plan on a five-year basis. And so we come forth with this bill this year because we want to be able to plan. We want to believe that this will be an option for us until 2018. That's what the bill says. We're not changing the use of anything that we're using it for right now, but we just want to extend it from 2014 to 2018. I would remind you that this does not cost you any money. The state, we do step forward a lot and say, could you fund this program and could you help us? And then I would just remind you that we're encouraged because there's been a lot of talk this year in the legislature about local control, about letting local boards decide. And to me, this is one of those situations. Your local boards, they're elected school board members, and they can decide if they should use capital outlay for some of these additional expenditures. So with that, I would encourage you to support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Another proponent. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Bill Van Gerpen, District 19. I fully support continuation of the flexibility allowed in Senate Bill 194. The Capital Outlay Fund, as it is now defined in statute, gives some flexibility to the local administrators and local school boards, and it provides for local management of their funds, which, as has been referred to, is very important for those of us that support the local control. I strongly support your passage of this legislation. It's a lifeline to survival for some of our school districts. As has been pointed out, there were districts that were actually in opposition to the idea. Now they are dipped into the fund to keep and to maintain their survival. I strongly encourage your support for this legislation. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you, Senator. Glad that you were able to join us today. I hear that you've been under the weather for a few days. Right? Yes, I'm glad that you're able to be back. Our next proponent is on. Will be on the phone. I believe his name is Tim Graff. Maybe he had to go out and scoop snow this morning.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Graff, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, this is Representative Sly, and just proceed with your testimony.
Okay, I thank you. Representative Sly and members of the House Education Committee, my name is Tim Graff, Superintendent of Millbank School District 25-4. Millbank currently has an enrollment of approximately 900 students with an additional 100 students at St. Lawrence School, a K-6 parochial school in our community. Our enrollment has grown each of the past 3 years. I'm proud to be a native of Millbank, and I'm honored to have been given the opportunity 3 years ago to return as school superintendent. I was also honored to work with and for Representative Tyler while she was a member of the Millbank School Board for 13 years, and we're glad to have her representing us out in Pierre. As I visit with people around the state, I've found that Millbank is oftentimes perceived as a prosperous community and school district by many. While this is somewhat true of our community, yet today I'd like to share with you a little bit about our financial struggles as a school district and how critical the capital outlay flexibility is to our school district. When the current formula was implemented in 1997, Millbank received $4,220,492 in formula money. This year, our budgeted formula revenue is expected to be $4,010,328. This is a decrease of 4.9%. from 15 years ago, or a decrease in real dollars of $210,164. During this same time, we have made an aggregate total of over $3.1 million in cuts from 1997 to the present day today. This is not an inflated number. Those are real dollars. And this has led to increased class sizes, fewer electives, large elective class sizes. We've got 36 in an ag elective, 30 in some high school science classes, some large elementary. We've lost programs. We have out-of-market teacher salaries. We have no tech integrationist. We have 1.5 guidance counselors in our school district, down from 3.5 not so long ago. We have 2.0 principals in FTEs, and that is one principal for our middle school and high school with over 500 students, and one technology coordinator for our district of almost 1,000 students. Millbank School District has ranked in the bottom 25 each of the last 3 years in total educational expenditures per pupil. Currently, we are 137th out of 152, or one school district in the state of South Dakota, and that includes expenditures from general fund, capital outlay, special ed, and pension. We are below state average in teacher salary, and we're below the state average in base teacher salary. There was a recent survey among 10 similar-sized schools that indicated we were at the lowest FTEs among schools our size of school administrators, tied for the lowest FTE in technology coordinator, tech integrationist. We were also the lowest level of counselors at a time when we have more student needs than we can adequately address. Much of the reason for this is that we don't have many of the same revenues in other revenue categories, such as gross receipts, county revenues, bank franchise fees, or federal revenues, as many of our other school districts around the state. Had the current formula been funded according to law the past few years, we would be receiving an additional approximately $525,000 annually today in the general fund budget. While we have made cuts amounting to $250,000 two years ago, the capital outlay flexibility is really what has prevented those cuts from being even deeper. We are paying currently this year $450,000 of transportation and utilities expenses out of our current budget from capital outlay. This actually represents 9% of our general fund budget. Quite frankly, in our situation, we see capital outlay as the only realistic option to maintain even basic educational services to our students. We don't view opt-out as a realistic option at this time for several reasons. The first is the vast majority of voting population does not have school-age kids. It puts additional burden on the property taxpayer. Thirdly, we have attempted two opt-outs previously and failed both times. Fourth, we currently have a balanced budget, mostly due to the cuts I described and the capital outlay flexibility. And although we have tried hard to educate the public, it's difficult to educate the majority of voters of the complexity of the uses of different funds if they don't regularly follow school funding, and explaining how we have a balanced budget currently and a structural deficit at the same time is confusing. And lastly, the Supreme Court opinion on the opt-out, and I quote, "Whatever system the legislature devises, therefore, must be sufficient to ensure the funding of a constitutionally adequate school system in every district. A referendum conflicts with this constitutional requirement if it permits voters in a district to reject taxes or levies necessary to fund a constitutionally adequate school system in Milbank." And I end quote. I urge you to support the Senate Bill 194 to extend the capital outlay flexibility, as it is critical to our school district along with many other districts in similar situations. And I thank you for the opportunity to not only testify but to testify by phone this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Graff. I'm going to see if the committee has any questions while you're on the line. Would that work for you?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, are there any committee questions for Mr. Graff? Representative Wick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for Mr. Graff, just curiosity, I guess, more than anything else, but what's the decrease in the number of students since 94, or have you possibly increased, which would be better news?
We have not. We have decreased, and that is obviously part of the reason for the decrease in revenue. The other real challenge for us since 94 is the change in funding formula. As you know, when things were, local boards could set their own levies, Milbank had a fairly adequate tax base. We're middle of the road in tax base per student now. What we are really a big loser in is the other revenues area, and that has really created a real hardship for our district. And so there's not an equitable per student funding situation that's going on currently, and it seems to be worsening, and that's much of the reason why we have relied so heavily upon the capital outlay flexibility.
Do you have a follow-up to that, sir? Representative Eklund has a question.
Yes, sir. This is Scott Eklund. Appreciate you being here with us today. My question, I guess, is what is the total of your capital outlay fund, and And what percentage have you used so far of that?
We are approximately $1.3 million is what can be raised with three mills, and $450,000 is our current year usage of it. So I guess if we were to do a quick division here, I'd say we're in that 35% ballpark.
Follow? Other questions by the committee? It doesn't look like there. Oh, I do have one. Representative Schaefer.
Madam Chairman, does the capital outlay then grow every year? Do they go to a certain level and then stop taking more money in the capital outlay?
Mr. Graff, would you like to answer that question?
I can try to do so. The our capital outlay revenues do increase as our valuations do increase. We have been taxing at the three mill levies both prior to and since the capital outlay flexibility. I know the concern in districts for many across the state with the capital outlay flexibility is that your infrastructure and facilities may deteriorate. What in our case we were able to do, and this tool is available to many school districts, is we were able to purchase QZAB bonds, and which is a 15-year 0% tool that you can use to do your capital outlay upgrades, and that has allowed us to not only borrow at 0%, but you can arbitrage that money. And it was a great tool for us in which we have not had to suffer in any way with our capital needs during this time as well.
Is there a follow-up?
One more question. If they use the capital outlay, do they ever have to replace it?
Mr. Graff, would you like to?
Are you asking if the $450,000 that we're currently using has to be given paid back to the general fund?
Yes.
No, it does not.
Thank you.
Other questions? I don't see any other questions, so thank you, Mr. Graff, for taking time out of your day to provide your testimony, and I'm glad that you weren't traveling on bad roads, possibly.
I thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Other proponents for Senate Bill 194, proponents. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Wade Pogan, representing the Associated School Boards of South Dakota, and we would also ask if you would support this bill. We're grateful to Representative Bolin and Senator Van Gerpen for bringing this, and it's had a good debate in the Senate, and we're asking you to do this. We debated this at our delegate assembly in November, and there was quite a good debate, a good discussion about this, and the conclusion that our folks drew was that we'd rather not have to do this, but it's a Band-Aid approach to a much bigger issue. And again, I'm not going to go into all the details I've talked about before with the hemorrhaging that we have in our schools right now. And you just heard a good example of that. And I would argue, you know, Mr. Graff's story is not just one story. This is a story of many schools that have this problem. So I say don't take my word for it on the crisis. Talk to your folks at home. They'll tell you their needs and what they have. And a lot of school districts are having to use this. So our delegates voted to support the flexibility when this bill came up. It wasn't overwhelming majority. It was overwhelming majority, but it wasn't unanimous, I should say, because the folks that don't like it say we shouldn't have to do this, and they're right. But we ask you to support this. We ask you to continue the flexibility for school boards to use in these financial times that we have. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Other proponents. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Rob Munson, School Administrators of South Dakota. I'm going to do a me too, but I'm going to add just a little bit more to it. school administrators also supports the use of this flexible money because so many schools are in that position. I'll make the analogy that this is truly a lifeline right now. There's some schools out there that are on life support and need this funding. If opt-outs can't be passed and there's no other way to get the revenues, they're having to go to these. You know, this came in as an emergency when fuel prices were so high a number of years back that it kind of opened the door for this. And as I visited some of you earlier this year, we talked about using this. And I had the question asked, well, don't you think schools are becoming addicted to this a little bit? And I answered honestly, and I said, yes, they are, unfortunately. So I would have three asks for you today, and the first one would be that I would ask each of you to find some time to get into the schools in your districts and find that classroom that's full of 30 students and one teacher, and those 30 students clamoring to get the attention of that teacher and get the best education they can. My second ask would be, while you're there at that school, sit down and have a discussion with the administrators about the things they've had to make changes to because of the lack of dollars that are coming to them and the hard decisions they've had to make, such as those 30 students in a room. And then the third ask I would have of you, and we've had this discussion since the beginning of session, Mr. Pogany has sat here and John Peterson has sat here and said, we need to sit down and talk about funding. We would love to find a way to get off of this addiction and having to do these things like the pension levy we're talking about right now with insurance. We would love to get away from having to come and ask you to please allow us to extend the capital outlay. So let's all sit down and find a way to fix funding so we don't have to play all these shell games to make ends meet. And with that, I would please ask that you pass this to extend the lifeline right now to our schools. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents? Proponents for Senate Bill 194. Other proponents? Opponents. Are there any opponents? Opponents to Senate Bill 194? Opponents. The chair closes testimony, and we will move into committee questions. Representative Campbell?
For Representative Boland, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Perhaps for the uninitiated, myself included, could you explain the opt-out?
Well, Madam Chairman, yes. I'll do the best. There may be others who can be a greater expertise in this than I in this room, but I'll do my best, and I will say right off the bat, I will stand corrected if I make an error. Basically, if a school district does not believe that they can raise sufficient funds for the programs they desire, they can. If a school board decides to, the school board can increase the taxes, and then in that local district. And then if it's not challenged by the public, it just goes through automatically. But citizens have the right to take out petitions and force an election on that. And that election then takes place and the public will have the final say. And if they choose to endorse the decision of the school board, that the tax levy is increased. If they choose to overturn that decision, then the tax levy remains the same. So it basically is a decision. The school board makes a decision, and then that decision can be referred to the people. This, the opt-out, to the best of my knowledge, only involves money that would go into the general fund, because the capital outlay, the pension, the bond already has been decided by a vote of the people, and the special ed is set at a particular level. It only involves the capital outlay. And again, I would invite others to come and answer that question if my answer was inadequate.
Thank you. Would there be anything that anyone would like to add to that? Okay. Other questions? Follow-up?
Madam Chair, follow-up.
Sure.
It's apparent from the testimony so far that there are some schools who
are able to do without accessing the capital outlay. And I'm supposing I would be asking your opinion on why some are able to and others not.
Just identify yourself first.
Again, Jim Boland, State Representative, District Number 16. You know, that's a very good question. Some of it comes down to tradition that runs very, very strong in South Dakota. Some school districts have particular programs and particular aspects that if they were reduced, it'd be very difficult. You know, I just don't know if I can answer that question. I think there is some, and I would agree with Mr. Graff on this, some aspect of the funding comes down to the fact that there are certain school districts that are able to access what are called other funds through, for instance, way stations in the district where they get fines from overloaded trucks and things like that. Those fines go to the individual school district. So certain school districts are able to have other, you might say, sources of funds which are not available to others. So I think there's a portion, I would certainly agree with the superintendent from Milbank that that is at least a part of the situation. But I think I'll have to leave it at that.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to ask if there's anyone else that would like to add to what Representative Boland said in regard to the differences in the opt-outs. Is there anyone in that back row back there? Nope, you're okay? Okay, Representative Tyler, and then I'll get to you.
Madam
yes.
Chair, to answer the question just with some numbers, and the other...
Is your mic on?
Oh, yes, it is. I'm sorry.
Is it? Okay.
Okay. To answer the question, there is another source, other revenues, and... the average per school district for other revenues from bank franchises, way stations, fines, that sort of thing, the average is $1,336,000. The school with the highest income from other revenues is Chamberlain with $2.6 million, and Milbank averages $613,000. So there's a wide variance in school districts for the amount of other revenues that each receives. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Stevens.
Well, I would just say to Representative Campbell, when I was on the school board, I always voted against using the capital outlay funds for those items. And from my justification for it was, number one is I was always felt that that fund should be used for equipment and to make sure that your buildings were kept up to date. The second thing was is that, as you can see with this bill, there's a time limit. And if you start using money for things on a regular type of basis, and then all of a sudden the legislature decides they're not going to extend that, then you've got these huge cuts that you have to make. And so I just have always kind of felt you stayed away from that so that you didn't get into that bad business practice of doing that. And so I don't know that Yankton does that now, but during the time I was there, that was the reason that we didn't do it.
Okay, let's move into questions. Do we have other questions?
Madam Chair.
Oh, yes, Representative Ring.
Since Representative Boland is here, I wasn't able to write fast enough. I think you said the number of school districts that are using the capital outlay fund for these other purposes. Is that right?
There are 100 of the statistics I've been able to glean 102 out of 151 school districts to one degree or another are using a portion of their capital outlay possibility to fund some of these ongoing expenses, not salaries. I think a lot of it, at least in the Canton School District, which I'm most familiar with, goes for insurance payments for buildings and for transportation costs and things like that.
Okay, that's what I wanted. Thank you.
Other questions of the committee? Representative Tyler.
Representative Boland. Thank you, Madam Chair. If there was some miracle and the legislature started funding schools to an adequate level, would you then propose that this option no longer be in effect for schools?
Representative Bolin?
I would, my own, this is just my own personal view. I would personally say that we just let the sunset go until it runs out, because again, it's a total local option. No school district is compelled by this legislation to in any way increase any funding out of capital outlay. There is no compulsion to fund any program or any to use any of these resources if the elected school board chooses not to.
Other questions by the committee? Seeing no further questions, we'll close questions and we'll move into committee discussion and or action. Representative Eklund.
Madam Chair, I move to pass.
Okay. The motion is made do pass by Representative Eklund, seconded by Representative Bartling. Comments?
Well, I think we all know that our schools are in trouble, and we know that we have to fix our funding. This allows us some more time. I would like to make sure that we do sunset this, as Representative Bowen described, but in that meantime, we need to come together and get some long-term fixes for our school funding so they can have a little more assurance of what's going to happen from year to year. Thank you.
Other comments by the committee?
Madam Chair.
Representative Wing.
This is going to be an easy vote for me because one of my fellow committee members told me last night how to vote.
Wow.
Actually, the truth is this is going to be a very difficult vote for me. I plan to vote for this bill. I plan to, at least figuratively, grit my teeth, hold my nose, and vote aye. As Representative Eklund said, and several other people have, we're being really irresponsible here in our failure to adequately fund education just in general. You know, we throw around the term local option or local control. When 151 or 102 out of 151 districts, that's over two-thirds, choose to use a fund that's intended for capital outlay for other purposes, because the alternative is put more than 30 kids into classes, is cancel classes, cancel curricula, whatever it is. They don't really have a choice. We're not really giving the local school boards much of a choice. Those people who have to face us, if they raise taxes, we're not allowing to raise taxes unless they can pass an opt-out, and as we found here, a lot of people can't. As some of you know, I'm a bit of a nerd. I like to look at data. And one of the things I found is that between 1999 and 2000, total state aid education, this is just a state aid formula, but all payments from the state to local schools, has not increased after adjustment for inflation. It's the same now as it was, 12 years ago. At that same time, property taxes after adjustment for inflation have gone up 17%. What we're doing is pushing more and more of the funding onto the property tax. Now, some of us have been around long enough to remember that the last time we pushed funding way over onto the property tax, and it's not nearly as severe yet as it was then, but we came very close to passing, the people came very close to passing I believe it was a constitutional amendment that would have drastically cut property taxes. Band-aid is a good term to use here. I think we're being extremely irresponsible as state policymakers, and I probably should leave it at that.
Other comments? No other comments by the committee? Okay, the motion is do pass of Senate Bill 194. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, the same sign. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Bartling. Campbell.
Pass.
Eklund.
Aye.
Pox?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
Kaiser?
Nay.
May?
Aye.
Ring?
Aye.
Schaefer?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Tolson?
Aye.
Tyler?
Aye.
Wick?
No.
Hager?
Aye.
Sly?
Aye.
Representative Campbell?
Nay.
We have 3 nay and 12 yay.
Senate Bill 194 has passed. Is the number correct with that? Was it 3? Okay.
3 nay.
3 nay and
12 yay.
12 yay. Okay, thank you. Senate Bill 194 has passed. Okay, we have completed our calendar after deferring 138 to another day. We have received 5 more bills from the Senate, so our job is not done yet. And so we will be meeting again on Monday and probably on Wednesday, I would say, also. Are you feeling sad about that?
How do you really feel
about that? Bummer. All right. If there's no other things that we need to address today, the chair calls for a motion to adjourn. Representative Stephen moves, seconded by a man's voice to the left, Representative Tolson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oppose, the same sign. Okay, education is adjourned.